Well, good morning, everyone. Open your Bibles here to Book of Genesis here this morning. And we'll be looking at Abraham and Sarah again this morning. the topic this morning will be observations from the lives of Abraham and Sarah. And just some overview of their life before God. Turn to Genesis chapter 18 and verse 9. Genesis 18 verse 9 and says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent." Now this is the Lord appearing and two angels unto Abraham as they were traveling. In verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plain of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. And let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this portion of scripture we're considering this morning. Thank you for Marriages in the Bible series. And Father, as we consider this topic here this morning, just the overview of Abraham and Sarah's life as a couple and the challenges they faced in their lives. And I pray, God, that you would bless here this morning. Father, thank you each one that's here. Father, I pray that you bring glory and honor to yourself through everything is said and done. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why is it that marriages struggle sometimes? Because you got two different people, made a male and female. Totally different mindset, how they think. And with that totally different mindset, you got a male and female, what else do you have going against you? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? We got that old sin nature. So you got male and female, and how they think differently, act differently. God made them differently. But then you've got the old sin nature. So somebody said this one time, if you want your marriage to sizzle with love in the loving cup, whenever you're wrong, admit it, and whenever you're right, shut up. So anyway, you have to somehow learn how to make marriage work, because there's always struggles in a marriage. And when God made male and female, man and woman, Matthew Henry said these words, "A woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to roll over him, or out of his feet to be trampled upon him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arms to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved." And there's some good thoughts there. What God has done when he created the first man and woman, and the marriages they roll down through here. Now, how much did faith play a part in Abraham and Sarah's life? Well, for Abraham and Sarah, and these are some observations. Number one, faith opens up the channel of God's blessings for a couple. Faith. Abraham's known in the Bible as a man of faith. God gave him a promise, and Abraham believed God and was accounted unto him for righteousness. Well, as the story picks up here in Genesis 18, let's just back up here just for a moment in Genesis 17 and to hear what God had to say to Abraham. Look at chapter 17 and verse 1. "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be the father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made thee." You know, God gave him this word that, and he actually changed his name from High Father, that's what Abram means, High Father, to a father of many nations. And I don't know if you ever thought about this in those years between Abraham, the time before Isaac was born. Abraham might be trading or meeting people, and they'd greet each other and say, "What's your name?" And Abraham would say, "My name's Abraham." And they say, "Oh, You're the father of many nations. Do you have many children? No, I don't. Do you see, although it was, God gave him his name, he didn't give him the reality of it at that time. And verse 5, for a father of many nations have I made thee, and I'll make thee exceedingly fruitful, and make the nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in thy generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and thy seed after thee. And I'll give unto thee to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Further down in the chapter here, God said in verse 15, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings, a people shall be in her. And Abram fell upon his face. And what's that next word? He laughed. Now, give me a definition. Laughter is what? If you were to define laughter is what? Okay, it's funny, but what does that mean? What makes it funny? How do you define laughter? Laughter is what? It's funny, but why is it funny? Why is laughter? Why when you laugh, why is something funny? Why? Okay, you're happy? What makes it so funny? This is what, huh? It wouldn't happen, okay? What's another way to say that? Okay, you, it's funny because it wouldn't happen. It's what, Victor? Not make sense. Okay, your mind's going this way. What makes something funny? It's the opposite of your expectation. You're going this way, and all of a sudden, zing, you're way over here. And then you laugh because it was taking you this way, and all of a sudden, you go this way. And that's what Abraham experienced here. It was the opposite of what he thought would happen. Verse 17, and Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart. Now, what was the opposite of the expectation? Why was it funny to him? It was too old to have kids. Look, right there in verse 17. Shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? That's what made it so funny. What does Isaac's name mean? What's Isaac's name mean what? Laughter. Every time they called Isaac for dinner, they'd be reminded. Because not only did Abraham laugh, but Sarah laughed too. Because look at verse 12 of chapter 18. Because in verse 10, the angel of the Lord said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard, and the tent door would be behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were well old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Verse 12, therefore Sarah what? She laughed within herself. And every time they called Isaac for dinner, they remembered, they laughed. Now with that being said, whose word proved true? God's word proved true. They had, it was the opposite expectation. This thing gonna happen, God? I'm too old. It can't happen. And they laughed. Now, faith opens up the channel of blessings for a couple. They laughed because what God said, they couldn't quite get their hands around. Now, did Abraham and Sarah have a perfect faith? No, they didn't. Why didn't they have a perfect faith? They weren't perfect. They laughed. Can God use people that are not quite all there spiritually? Do you know what I'm saying? Right? He's every day. That's all he's got to work with. That's pretty discouraging to God. If you, God looks down from heaven and looks at us and like, it's not very good choices down here. What's this? Oh, he won't use none. Absolutely. There is a difference. Yeah, they didn't have perfect faith, but they were righteous people in God's sight. They loved God and they knew God. But faith opens up that channel of blessing. Faith opens up that channel of blessing. Turn to Romans chapter 4 here for a moment. This channel of blessing, Romans chapter 4. Verse 17 of Romans 4, as is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who made alive or quickened the dead, and called those things which were not as though they were, who, speaking of Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded of what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You know, Abraham's faith was growing. God said this, he laughed. But then as he stood back, he said, God, you're almighty God, and you can do this thing. You can do this thing. And you know, we need to grow in our faith, in our trust in God, because our challenges increase. Now, when God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, and each time the years went by, what did that do to his faith? As the years went by and he didn't have a child, what's this? It chipped away at it, because you know, God said, you're going to have a son? Oh, great. Well, then the next day, and the next day, and the next month, and the next year, and the next year, and the next. After a while, your faith begins to, wow, Lord, is this really going to happen? Is it really going to happen? Well, turn back over here to Genesis. You know, they were strong in faith. For Abraham and Sarah, they believed God. Well, faith opens up the channel of blessings for a couple. Now, we're going to have to chew on this a little bit here. These observations. Faith is important in the Christian life, in a couple's life. Faith, God had a bigger purpose than the circumstances we find ourselves in. Now, if you were to step back and look at this situation, why did God wait so long to give the Son of Promise? To show his power, okay? To show his power. Right, he doesn't lie, show his power, he can be trusted. And sometimes when we got a situation, we need to step back and see, God, what are you doing in this situation? Why is this happening? What is your purpose for me and my wife and my children in the situation? What are you trying to do? Because there was a much bigger purpose that God had for waiting all these years. Now, if you move this forward a little bit, they did have Isaac, and his name's Laughter. And in the process of time, one time God said to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your only son, your only beloved son, and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. Now see, God made him wait, what, all these years for a bigger purpose. Now, he had that whole experience on Mount Moriah. But if you jump even further ahead, who gave his son ultimately? God did. God gave Jesus Christ. Sometimes when you step back, God's doing something in and through your life, and you're saying, God, why isn't this happening? But sometimes God has a much bigger purpose, because when Isaac was offered up, the son of promise that they waited all these years that Abraham and Sarah waited for. God had a much greater purpose to show that in time to come, God spared Isaac, but God did not spare his son, the Lord Jesus, for the sins of the world. God gave up his only son for us. And sometimes God's program and his ways are much bigger than what's happening in our life. And sometimes we just need to step back and trust God in his sovereignty. He's moving the events and affairs of our life in an organized, purposeful manner to reach his desired goals for us. And so although they waited for the Son of Promise, this bigger purpose God had in moving in and through their lives. Ishmael was not part of the plan of God for the Son of Promise for Isaac to come. And eventually through Isaac and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the patriarchs eventually became the Lord Jesus Christ through that line, that seed that blessed the nations. Well, God has a much bigger promise and program for us. So what does that mean to us as families? You have a struggle? Sometimes it's much bigger than what you're going through. That God has a prayer. He knows what you're going through, but he has a much greater purpose. And so what do we do in those times when our faith is being stretched like Abraham and Sarah's, the son of promise? Where is he? What do we do as God's people? You wait? Right, oh, absolutely. Right, it's so true. God doesn't have to explain himself. He doesn't have to. But faith knows that God is good, he's wise, he loves me, and I can trust him. That's the life of faith. That's how we live as believers. And although we may not understand, they didn't understand and they laughed. God, you're saying I'm going to have a son? But God wanted Abraham to be as good as dead, that this seed of promise was a God thing. It was totally a God thing, the seed of promise. So we learned to wait on God in his purposes. Well, number three, what else can we observe from the lives of Abraham? Nothing is too hard for God. We'll look here in Genesis 18. And this interaction here in verse 9, well, in the beginning of the chapter, the angel of the Lord came and the angels came. And Abraham, verse 1 says, the Lord. Verse 3 says, my Lord. And Abraham made a nice meal for them. And in verse 7, it kind of makes me chuckle. Abraham is almost 100 years old, and Abraham ran to the herd. It's kind of like, I mean, this was kind of like he was really impressed with these people. It's like he's getting with it, you know. And they made a nice meal for them, and they were eating a meal, verse 9. And they said, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, in a tent. And he explains, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am grown old or waxen old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And verse 14, as observation, is there anything too hard for the Lord? We need to camp on that a minute. I have read stories and known situations where some marriages are like this. It seems like it's impossible to reconcile it. They're just broken. And humanly speaking, that is true. But there is one thing. Nothing's too hard for what? God. And if people would align themselves up by faith with what God says. Now, are there things that God tells us in human relationships to help human relationships? give me some things that he says helps human relationships. When you've got a man and a woman who think differently, they're wired up differently, and then you got the sin nature in each of their hearts. But are there ways that can bring reconciliation and healing back into a relationship that's strained? What are some of those things that God... Yes, Victor. Oh, absolutely. Love. Absolutely. Now, like Victor said, you love your wife like God loved the church. Is the church perfect? Are we perfect? No. Does he love us? Absolutely. Is he merciful to us? Absolutely. So a husband that has a wife that is just giving him a terrible time, can he still love somebody that's hard to love at times? Well, sure. Absolutely. You can love somebody that's hard to love at times. Okay, anything else? Victor brought up the topic of love. If God says you do this and you'll get the benefit of it, what is something else that God in relationships? Say that again, Sandy.
Being wrong when
you take the blame. No, would you absorb, even though somebody falsely accused you, you absorb that false accusation and you just overcome that matter with love. You don't return evil for evil. You absorb that and you take it upon yourself. God says, if you forgive, I will what to you? Forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I'm not going to what? Forgive. Now, that's by faith. And when we by faith say, God, you want me to be forgiving. Now, what is the difference between reconciliation and forgiveness? If I forgive somebody, does that mean I'm automatically reconciled with them? Why not? But only one forgiveness. Because forgiveness means I'm letting it go. You hurt me, I want to hurt you back, but I'm not going to hurt you back. I'm letting it go. And you forgive them of the trespass they hurt you with. See, when we by faith opens up the channel of God's blessings for a couple, when we take by faith what God says and we just do it, then we get the blessing. We don't get the blessing first and then we obey. We obey first and then get the blessing. But by faith, when God says, you do this, this is what's going to happen in your relationship. This is what's going to happen. This is what will bless you. And is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything else that God gives us that if we enact it by faith that we get the blessing of? How about being respectful to one another? A wife respecting her husband. Does that help matters in a marriage? Do men want to be respected? Sure they do. And if a wife by faith obeys God, say, God, my husband is not loving me, but by faith I'm going to respect him and honor him as my husband, even though he's not doing me good. What does God say that will happen when you do good to others and they don't do good to you? What is that going to do for you? It's going to open up God's blessings on you. And it's going to heap coals of what? On their head. Would you bless them and all of a sudden they're going to start feeling the guilt of how bad they're treating you when you're good to them and they're not good to you. This, nothing's too hard for the Lord. There's another component of that for us as believers. What does that give us in a bad situation if we trust in Almighty God? What does that give to us? Somewhat. Some peace? Some hope, absolutely. Because some situations for us are impossible. For Abraham and Sarah, it was impossible. They didn't see any way. They laughed. God, this is totally unexpected here. My mind thinks this way, but by faith we believe you this way. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And it gives us some hope. Okay, you know someone, you may love them, or maybe a friend or somebody, but if they're a believer and you pray for their healing and yet they die, are they not ultimately healed in the presence of God? Do you know what I'm saying? God heals everyone. You can pray for people's healings, and nothing's too hard for the Lord. He can heal this side of eternity. He can heal when they get their new body in heaven. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, we need to, as believers, realize that when we obey Him by faith and do what we need to do and trust His sovereignty and rely on the power of God, that God will work in and through. Now, an observation from Abraham and Sarah, God's delay is not God's denial. Did they want a child? Sure they did. But in God's timing, God had a bigger plan here. And although He said, I'm going to give you this son of promise, and yet He waited, and He waited. God waited. But ultimately, He fulfilled His purpose in what He had ordained for them. His delay was not His denial. Well, waiting on God in the long hours, it's tough sometimes. But by faith, when you have faith in your marriage and in your relationship one with another, God will honor that. Marriages are under attack here in America and around the world. And we got to energize faith into our marriages. Any other observations you can think of from Abraham and Sarah about their relationship one with another? Any other observations we can make? And that's what Hebrews talks about. He counted Isaac as good as dead and said, God, the only way this can work, if he's going to be the son of promise and you want me to sacrifice him, the only way it works, you're going to have to raise him from the dead. But that's faith. Yes. Right. Right, right. In his heart, he knew that Isaac was coming back again. Should we be like Abraham? Sure, we should. We should be men and women of faith that trust God. And they had some tough times in their marriage, but God proved faithful at the end. And we need to wait on God in the long hours and trust Him that God will prove Himself faithful and loving, and that God can work in and through the circumstances we find ourselves in. Any other thoughts? Yes, Kurt.
When I read both chapter 17 and 18 start out with the Lord appeared to Abraham, and maybe it's a translation of appeared. I don't know how he appeared. How did he appear? Because there's another place in the Bible where no one can see God's face and live. I forget where that's at, but I've read that before. I mean, God could have appeared anyway, but did he appear in form or was it a voice? Or just in 18 it's talking about three actual.
Right. Yeah, in verse 17, I always took it just as a voice from heaven. I mean, that's how, when he appeared to him, I just took it as an audible voice, not a physical appearance.
I mean, that could be the way the NIV interpreted
it. Right.
Right.
Just like when Samuel was in the temple and God spoke to Samuel during the night, it was just a voice. Samuel didn't see anything, but you could say God appeared to Samuel, but it was by his voice.
You know, it's talking about three people.
Yes. And and what's interesting about that is, I mean, Abraham right away knew this was just not normal people. I mean, immediately he was in high alert, right? He, yeah, he.
It wasn't just a voice because he prepared food for him.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, in 17, but in 18, it was actually, right, a physical appearance. So absolutely. Yes. And some people believe that was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ there. Yes. Yes. Because it does say the Lord in verse 1 and my Lord in verse 3. And the thing about verses 9 and following, only God can say, I will certainly return to thee according to the time of life. That's God speaking. You know what I'm saying? That's a God thing. It's not something that men could do. So yes, it was certainly an appearance of God to them during this time. Good. Anything else we can observe from their life? He was right. They didn't have a microwave oven back then. He was like, sure. There's one last thing I want to close with about the life of Abraham and Sarah. What did we do this morning but consider their life? And the life you live, your spouse is watching you, your children are watching you, your neighbors are watching you. And what kind of life are you living before them? Are you living a life of faith and obedience? And the testimony that they had has resonated down through Scripture, down through the ages, the life they lived. Little did Abraham even imagine that thousands of years later in a Sunday school class, we'd be talking about this very experience they went through. But I think sometimes we minimize our own importance in the sense of others are watching our life of faith and how we live, and we need to be that testimony to others. Somebody said it like this: we're the only Bible some people ever what? Read. They're looking at us. And the life that they live, although they had their ups and downs, they had some good times and some bad decisions, good decisions, bad decisions, but overall they shone mighty bright for God. And I think we need to be that testimony also before others in an unbelieving world that our God is a great God and there's nothing too hard for Him. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you as we've looked at the life of Abraham and Sarah and, Lord, how we've observed their faith and, Lord, they're waiting on you. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that as believers, that we would let our light shine before men. They may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven by being men and women of faith and taking you at your word and living according to your word. Because as we do that, God, we open up the channels of blessings upon us, God. So, Lord, make us men and women of faith. Help us be like Abraham. Help us be obedient to your word and to trust you. And, Lord, we know that one day we shall stand before thee and get an account of ourselves. So, Lord, and when that day appears, Lord, help us to hear these words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." So bless us toward that end, and we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.